Cool. Fire. Hey everyone, it's Jeremy, the VP of Digital Entertainment, here at Cool Fire Studios with another podcast edition of Cool Fired Up. Now, some of you listening may work at a production company, and a lot of the times that company's going to find itself working directly with an agency. An agency is usually hired by the brand, who then in turn hires a production company. So that agency-production company relationship, it's really special. This week, we're going to dive into a recent collaboration with our friends from the Rogers Townsend Agency. Now, Rogers Townsend recently created a campaign for the brilliant dog hair removal tool Furminator, and the campaign featured some really neat animatronic puppets. You're going to want to check it out. So here's Cool Fire President David Johnson sitting down with Rogers Townsend SVP and Group Creative Director Kay Cochran and ACD John Hansen to talk about Furminator.
Welcome, everybody, to Cool Fired Up, a special Thursday edition. I'm your host today, President of Cool Fire, David Johnson. I've got friends with me here today, Senior VP and Group Creative Director from Rogers Townsend, Kay Cochran.
Hello.
And ACD, John Hansen. So, guys, thank you for joining us today. Before we get into what we're going to talk about today, collaboration and this project that we did for your client, Furminator, got a little housekeeping. So if you got any questions out there for the show today, by all means, put them in the comment section. We want to make this as engaging for the audience as possible. And like our page on Cool Fire. We love this platform. We love the Facebook Live platform, so hopefully you're tuning in and watching as we continue to do this. Let's get back to you guys. Kay, okay. John, we've been working together a long time. I think our audience would love to know just kind of what you do on a day-to-day basis at RT, kind of maybe how you got your start, some of the clients you're working on. So with that, I'll kick it to you.
Okay. Well, I'm Kay Cochran. I started at RT as the sixth employee, so I've actually just passed my 19-year anniversary,
right,
which is crazy.
A great little party for that.
Yes, we had lunch.
Well,
and
good.
Yeah, it was fun.
So Rolex comes next year then, right?
Exactly, okay. Yeah, and the plaque. I've always been a writer there and then became a CD, and now I'm on the team of directors, so it's been an amazing journey seeing it grow.
That's
from
awesome.
A very small agency to... We're about like 80 people now.
80 people, okay, got it.
Yeah.
And how close are you to czar level? Or is that soon?
That's what I'm working towards,
yeah.
Yeah. Right. And maybe my name on the building, you know.
Hey, close. John, how about you?
Also working for my name on the building. I'm an ACD at Rogers Townsend. I got my start at CORE. I guess that was about 15 years ago, maybe.
I think it's where I first met you, actually.
Yeah, I think so. And Dames and Stan and all the guys. So I started there and worked there for 4 or 5 years, and then went to Hoffman Lewis, and then followed up at RT, and I've been there for 3 years.
3 years, good deal. Well, we've had a lot of fun along the way. Nothing more fun than this. Before we get into this, though, you guys have a ridiculous rider, I have to say. It's right up there with the guys at Tone Loc and Digital Underground. I'm going to just read a couple of things off. I was only able to deliver on one or two of them here. So we got a Skinny Girl Cosmo for John, Vodka Tonic for you, a charcuterie plate with an assortment of imported olives, bowl of Swedish fish, red only, the Bath & Body Works hand sanitizer, Honolulu Breeze. Is that for you, John?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
The only thing I was able to pull was the red Swedish fish, so
yes.
If you want to dig in, here they are. They're not in the bowl or anything, but they are red. So let's get going to this thing. We got Furminator. What an awesome client. I've got a dog, total pain in the butt, sheds a lot, and this tool is amazing. And this is the Furminator tool right here, one of them. They get a lot of products, right?
Yep.
Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about Furminator, their product lines, their brands, and what it is they do?
Well, it was created by Dog Groomer, and the tool is designed to reach the undercoat of the dog, which is where all the big clumpy fur is. It's really an amazing thing when you furminate the dog with this tool. You will end up with a pile of hair almost as big as the dog that it came from. And it also works on cats.
All right.
And rabbits.
And horses.
And horses.
And horses.
Believe it or not.
How about hairy backs on men?
You could try it.
You could try it?
Yeah.
Well, not me. I mean, I've got a neighbor.
Obviously.
The other thing is that they have such a big fan base, and anytime I've spoken about working on this project in public, somebody will grab my arm and say, that tool is so amazing. Yeah. Like, I love it. People who have it swear by it.
That's really awesome. That's good to hear. And they've got a lot of other product lines, too, but this spot in this particular project was on this particular tool, right?
Correct.
That's right.
Got it. And that is the actual Furminator, or
is this it? The Furminator.
Okay, got it.
Go get one.
It looks like John's used it on his head, actually. So as we set this thing up, they got a great product, you know, and every brand needs a little bit of advertising. How did this project come about from a creative brief standpoint? What came in from the client? How did it materialize from inception?
Well, they let us know that everyone loves their pet, but people are very frustrated with loose hair around the house. Mm-hmm. Another part of the brief that was challenging is the work that we were going to do would need to resonate across a global audience. So this will be in the UK and the rest of Europe and I think Middle East or Russia even.
There's pet shedding everywhere.
Exactly.
Right. And it's not just a US issue.
It's an epidemic.
Right. Yeah. So the idea had to be universal enough to speak to everyone.
And so you guys came up with this campaign. I know we were brought into the mix and I'm really excited how it all came about, and that's something we're going to kind of touch on here momentarily on this kind of notion of collaboration. Talk about what you guys came up with to solve that problem, what the platforms were. We had broadcast or at least a spot in the making, and then had some social reach too. Can you talk a little bit about kind of what the reach and the plan was for the project?
That's a lot of questions all at once.
Yeah, that's what I'm good for.
In terms of like the creation of the process, when we kicked this project off for Furminator and the campaign, we really wanted to personify the issue and the problem of hair and fur. First thing that came to mind for us is like, oh, wouldn't that be great to have these little creatures that just like play on your life and cause all this havoc.
Sure.
So right out of the gate, it was probably one of the first ideas we came up with. We kind of circled around a lot of times, but kept coming back to it and coming back to it.
Yeah, and the hair itself is a spawn of the animal, and so we thought it should look like the animal that it came from. So if it's a golden retriever, then his shedling would be tan and look just like him, or if it's a tricolor dog or a white dog or a black dog, that their little clumps of hair that follow you everywhere are almost like little miniature spawns.
So the problem
animal.
Became personalized. You created characters out of this thing. Talk to us about the character creation, because I see a couple of them here. You called them what, shedlings, right?
Shedlings.
So let's see some of the shedlings here.
Yeah, this would be modeled after a Australian Shepherd. It's got like the blue and brown eye. It's kind of the multicolored shedling.
What was in your head when you were first coming up? It's like, Fgard, we're going to personalize these things and give them personality and give them a character. Where did your head kind of initially go to like get that inspiration for what they needed to look like? Obviously, taking on the notes of the pet is a big thing, but were there any other kind of inspirations that you had?
Yeah, we tossed around a lot of ideas. At the very beginning, I was like, maybe we should do a big metaphorical beast. It can be the issue of hair and it leaves hair everywhere. And then we kind of thought that maybe we should tie it back a little closer to the fur balls you find on the floor in your house. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where it came from, that sort of tumbleweed that you find. Yeah. Sometimes even if you don't have a pet, you'll find those little hair balls.
Yeah, we wanted them to have similar personalities to the animals that they come from, so they're never scary or menacing, but that they're just sort of like, hey, I'm here, and they're friendly, but they're still annoying because they're everywhere, and they follow you
You want to love them because it's from your dog or your cat or pet. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say Gremlins, and I know you have a love for 80s movies.
Oh, yeah.
You've dressed up as E.T. at our parties. And,
yeah.
Labyrinth?
Yeah. Yeah.
Early tribute to David Bowie. So anyway, sorry to jump in. So then we got into the process of the actual production of the show, and that's when you guys brought in Twist Film and Matt Pitroff. You guys had some history, or at least John had some history with working with director Matt Pitroff. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that selection process and how Matt was brought into the project and how that all ended up working?
Matt Pitroff worked out perfect for this. It was one of the first names kind of came to mind when we came up with this idea and we started bidding directors. I'd worked with him on two other projects, both kind of comedy related. So he seemed like a good fit right out the gate. He's really collaborative. He's just great to work with. He's super detail oriented.
Yeah.
He's got a great eye and he's a great art director. So as an art director, I can lean on him to make me look good. So that's always nice.
And for me, I mean, I've been looking for a project to work with Matt for a long time. And I met him about 3.5, 4 years ago, had him into St. Louis in an Addy Week event and interviewed him. And just an amazing guy, had done some really cool work. He's based in Baltimore, but works all over the country, all over the world. And to be able to have him here in our own backyard, it was really fun to be able to see that come to life. And we as a company, Coolfar, really enjoyed collaborating with Twist on that. So I wanted to bring that up. We actually had a question come in when we were talking about shedding. So I hate to backtrack here a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. What were some of the ideas that got cut when you were coming up for the shedlings here?
We had a concept that was about the second dog that's created from the hair.
Okay.
And the idea is that they would like run around as if they were real animals. We had a whole concept that took place at a dog park with these second dogs running around.
Yeah, they would hit a fence and divide into pieces and sort of come back together like Terminator.
Nice.
And then we had another concept that was about how you can freely hug your animals as much as you want now, because if you furminate them, then you won't be covered in hair all the time. And we liked that too, but it was more limiting in that it was about your clothes more than anything else, and we wanted it to be broader than that. Okay. And everyone just fell in love with the idea of these little creatures and what
the places they go, the different personalities they can take on. Connecting on to that thought and the personalities they can take on, as we started to get into the production of this spot, they physically had to start being made. And so that's when Matt brought in MNFX, I believe, out of Minneapolis, the effects house up there, and they did some really amazing work. These guys really started to bring your vision to life. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about working with them, that process of what it was like? You're going from a storyboard to like this.
Yeah.
Tell us what that was like.
Lots and lots of sketches. Started off just with rough sketches. Put together vision boards, kind of a whole mishmash of all the different characters you've ever seen throughout your life. And you got your gizmos and your gremlin type characters. Mm-hmm. And we know we wanted them to look like the hair that comes off your pets and sort of different personalities that relate to your pet. I think everyone knows what type of personality their pets have. Some of them are grumpy. Some of them are cute. Some of them are annoying.
Yeah.
There's a lot of range there, a lot of possibility. But we just did lots of sketches and we just kind of honed in on what we think is kind of perfect for
lots of conversations about eyebrows and hair textures and noses and teeth.
Probably more than you care to have, but they were important because you're building a character there.
Yeah.
You're developing that characterization. So.
Yeah, it's kind of tough when you're doing that work because you don't want to add too many features. It's funny, like they don't have enough personality if you don't add a nose or a mouth, or maybe the mouth doesn't read as well if there aren't teeth.
Yeah, and I remember being in those conversations on the post side too, and I love that Matt and Twist wanted to go practical with all these and give them those features, because that really layered into that authenticity. I mean, they're not real, but at the same time, the spot and the tone that was set, it played so much better than if it was going to be totally VFX driven.
Right.
So thought that was really cool. So anyway, that was a really great process to go through. So super fun spot. The score is just awesome on it. I mean, I thought that was really cool. So now the spot's kind of out there. Can you guys talk to us about where it's living, what the plans are for it? I mean, I've gone to the Furminator Instagram page, and all you see are these shots of all these different pets and these different little shedlings that have been created next to it. I mean, clearly the fans are resonating with it, and they're making their own, that sort of thing. I think it's had 40,000 views on Facebook already. So what's the strategy? Where is it out there right now? How's it doing?
Well, this is kind of just the launch. So that was kind of like the very establishing commercial, if you will. For the campaign. So we're just now introducing them online. Yeah, people are going nuts about it. They love their shedlings.
Yeah, on Facebook, we're really going to show the shedlings in all the places that you might find them and where they hide, just to, again, sort of tap into that universal feeling of, oh yeah, I've got those under my couch.
And it doesn't seem like you have any problem getting your fans to talk positively about the brand and interact with the brand, which is awesome.
That's a great thing about this product is that people are already fanatics. They know it works. I think I even had one growing up.
But you didn't have any pets, right? You just...
No, I just had one. You know, like my parents had one just around.
Just to have it, right?
Yeah, it was just like...
So there's a couple questions coming up, and these are kind of coming back to some of the stuff we've already talked about. First one, what are John's favorite 80s movies that inspired this campaign? You kind of set yourself up. I mean, you dressed up like Elliot from E.T. and Labyrinth, so...
I'd have to say...
get into last year's costume.
Definitely Gremlins, definitely Jim Henson movies. The Labyrinth.
Fraggle Rock?
Fraggle Rock is a great reference.
Not really a movie, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Dark Crystal is a great reference as well.
Yeah. Kate, do you have any references that you liked? Or, I mean, I know you're an 80s fan, too.
Well, I am a fan of all things 80s. But as far as the creatures go, the best part was just us talking about, like, how they might move, how they might make noises, and that just cracked me up all the time. So, hello!
Do you guys ever have any disagreements as you were going along and building these characters?
We never have disagreements. I mean, I pretty much just ride her coattails.
We're like peas and carrots.
Peas and carrots. There you go.
Yes.
Any other questions out there before we continue to move on? Oh, okay. What's the process of scouting dog talent for the spot? Okay, so there was a dog in here. We've done a lot of pet work with you guys, it seems like, randomly.
Yeah, lately especially, yeah.
So this was obviously very important to have the right dog in this spot, and the casting was great in the spot too. I think Matt and again, Twist just
nailed it.
He shot in Minneapolis, right?
Yes.
Right? Yeah, shot in Minneapolis.
Very long shoot, but you guys got a lot done in that
So. They, between Twist, Matt Pitroff, all the way through the process, and FX, we really got a lot of bang for our buck and throughout that whole entire process. I mean, we shot so long into the evening, and everyone kind of stuck around a little later than they had to, which is always great when you have that sort of dedication to the spot.
But, I mean, the locations, the casting, I mean, really just kind of stellar across the board. So back to the dog casting.
Yeah, Matt, our client, was also named Matt, so we had to keep him and the director from being confused. He definitely had opinions on which pets, because he definitely knows which ones are the most popular and all that. So together we decided a golden retriever was the perfect starting point for the video. But then knowing that there are so many types of dogs and lovers of those dogs, as we go forward and as we're shooting photography, we're getting all types of dogs. And also cats, because they also leave a lot of hair around and they're fun to shoot also.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So one of the other questions we had, and I know the answer to this, but Facebook Live doesn't. So shoot dates, the pre-pro dates. I know it was a tricky one on the actual shoot date because I think you guys did it in one really, really long day, right?
Yeah.
But the prep time up there, I mean, a lot of this, it seemed like it was a tech. Let's just address as much of this as we can in pre-production, hence the practical effects and the casting, location scouting, that sort of thing. I know Coolfire had some involvement in some of the special effects and that sort of thing. So we were having conversations with Matt. Talk about the day. I mean, you guys went to a lot of places too. There was a lot of different locations in that shoot day. Can you talk to us a little bit about the shoot date itself?
Sure. Fire away, Kay.
Well, we started with the office scene, and then we got a couple scenes there, and then the rest was at a home that was a really nice postmodern home in the area. We had a ton of stuff to cover, so it wasn't so much that we moved from place to place all that much, but we had so much to get at each place, and we had different scenes within each, so we were constantly moving cameras and all of that. We had the baby room to capture in the living room and all of that.
It was one of my favorite shots, always, kind of moving in all the stuffed animals there.
Our little homage to E.T.
Yeah. It was cool. It was cool. I just watched E.T. with my kids the other day.
Oh, wow.
For the first time?
And it still holds up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
It still holds up. Yeah. It was really cool. I think we got a pretty good handle on Terminator. I'd like to know what you guys are working on next. I mean, do you guys work together all the time, or are there other clients you get to switch around? I mean, what's it like inside at RT there?
We switch around all the time. We don't have dedicated teams. Mm-hmm. So when a job comes up, Michael will consider who he thinks would be the best pairing for
that
job.
It's Mike McCormick, your CD,
yes,
right?
Yep. Yes. You know, in this case, I think he just thought of us for various reasons, but we love the chance to work together anytime. We have a blast, no matter what the project is. And we've done some kind of crazy things. We did a dancing piece for the Hartford that was very experimental and
won some national Emmys too.
Yeah, I love that John will just dive into anything. He's game to try anything.
Yeah, I've actually seen that firsthand.
It makes it really fun.
Yeah. Did a good
Last Halloween,
you did the full-on dive.
Too far.
All right, and then you guys are up for some national Addies next week, right? I mean, down at Disneyland, right? Can you tell us a little bit what's up and what do you got in the mix?
I'm up for the wall stunts that we did.
Right.
God, it seems like it was 2 years ago, but it was just
I remember I cut my head open with that can of beans.
Oh, God. That was awful.
Yeah, I'll never say that sentence out loud again.
Yeah, that was a great project. Working with Walls Ice Cream, if you don't know it, go get it. For April Fool's Day, we kind of hijacked a self-checkout lane and swapped out the typical beep with a lot of other fun sounds. So just search that on YouTube and you can find it out.
I don't have anything in the show, but Peter and Connor's Pearl campaign, they're really beautiful posters for Pearl Vodka.
That's great.
And then we had a little internal campaign for our March Madness bracket
that
was Jay Chambers and Steve La Liberté did those posters. So
very cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
And you guys, Rogers Towns is part of the DDB network. Can you kind of just talk about what that's like to work in that network? And I believe, you know, some of these projects even come through that. There's a lot of kind of opportunities that kind of come up the pipeline. You guys are doing great work because those opportunities keep coming back.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us a little bit about what it's like being part of that?
Well, having been at RT before that buyout, I can say that the nice thing about, and I think this is common to Omnicom, they don't really come in and try to change anything that you're doing. So we still operate in the way that we always have. And yes, we're beholden to them profit-wise and that type of thing. And there are also nice benefits that come with being in the network. And we do get opportunities from other shops sometimes that we wouldn't normally get, creative opportunities. But by and large, it still feels like the place it's always been. So I wouldn't say that it's changed our culture all that much.
Gotcha. So we have an event coming up July 14th that you guys have just utterly dominated. Let's just call it what it is. Our Pinewood Derby, number 9, coming up. This year, we're doing a little tribute to Prince. I don't think it's too soon. We're going to do Pinewood Rain.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Prince fan. We're going to have just Prince music playing all night. You guys have won the event, I want to say the last 5 or 6 years. I don't even know. It's just, you had more and more competition. I mean, people are nipping at your heels, but I got to ask, do we have any hints of what the car is going to look like this year?
I have nothing to do with it. Yeah. Nobody ever likes my ideas for the Pinewood car. So, but John has been involved. Maybe you can
Loosely involved. I'm more of a cheerleader for the event.
So the message is you're keeping it under wraps.
And yeah.
And dominating.
Yeah, last year it was Voltron. They got to pick the car to race. We thought it was going to level the playing field, and it didn't. But we've got some real fanatics for that project, so it'll be something cool.
Very good. So that's July 14th again at the Anheuser-Busch Beer Garden. We're super excited to be hosting it there again, or them hosting us. Great venue for that. We've got some awesome sponsors this year. The Creative Group just came on as a sponsor. Bender Printing, always a great sponsor. Budweiser, Bud Light, Bud Select. Of course, the Beer Garden. We're super excited to have all those guys. We don't have any more questions. We're just going to tease next week. Jeremy Corey, our VP of Digital Entertainment, and myself will be going to Los Angeles to the Stream Market, which is a digital summit, all things digital. We're going to be hearing speakers from YouTube, BuzzFeed, Vessel, Hulu, Maker Studios, Machinima, Refinery 29, you name it. We're going to be doing kind of live check-ins on our Facebook Live page on Monday and Tuesday, and then we'll do a full-on recap of the event Wednesday or Thursday. So with that, I'd like to say thank you, John. Thank you, Kay, for coming in. And thank you, Shedlings, for coming in.
And yes, they're all over me.
Yes, look, Shedlings.
She's been shedded on. You can't really see that. But thank you guys very much, and cool fire up.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Cool Fired Up. Next week, we're going to be talking TV with Cool Fire Studios VP of TV Development, Steve Lubert, and VP of Story Development, Tim Breitbach. For those of you looking to develop your TV show idea, and it's one of our most engaged Facebook Live events we've done yet, so there's a lot of good stuff in there. Be sure to subscribe to get it delivered to iTunes. Follow us on SoundCloud. Thanks for joining. We'll see you on the next episode of Cool Fired Up.